Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Gina R., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, December 13th, 2018. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page XIII, the foreword to the first edition, first paragraph, which begins, We of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we will read one paragraph and comment on that paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Cindy D., 12 Traditions, Melissa C.K. Our readers are Tessa Q., Wendy M., and Felicia D. Our newcomer greeter is Melanie C. The reference numbers for Wednesday, December 12th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 12,293. And Thursday, December 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 12,297. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Cindy D. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., gratefully recovered in Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Cindy D. I will now ask Melissa C.K. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Melissa C.K. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service. I pass.
And thank you, Melissa C.K. Here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Someone's not muted. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, please make sure you are not using a speakerphone. Speak directly into your phone or headset. Press star 1 to unmute. It is not necessary to ask if you can be heard, as I will let you know if there is an issue. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are at page XIII, the foreword to the first edition, first paragraph, which begins, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous." We're commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Tessa Q to begin reading.
Hi, this is Tessa Q. I'm a compulsive overeater. We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book. For them, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. We think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand the alcoholic. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person, and besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all.
Tessa, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you're done reading, and now you would comment.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm Tessa. I'm a compulsive overeader. Thank you so much, moderator. You know, for me, the important thing is when I realized I had this issue, and also when I relapsed. It was really important to know the word hope and to hear the word hope. And also when I picked up the Big Book, to find myself in the Big Book and hear from my sponsor or other recovering overeaters that they had had those problems too, that I could find empathy and fellowship and hope, and that I was no longer alone. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Tessa Q. Okay. Who would like to share on what was read?
Marissa E.
Marissa Reggie E. O.
Wendy M.
Reggie
Jackie
O.
A.
Wendy M. Jackie A.
Cindy D.
Terry D.
Patty
Terry H. Who was after Terry H?
Patty T.
Patty T. Okay, we're going to stop there. This is who I've got. Hopefully I got it all. Marissa E., Reggie O., Wendy M., Jackie H., Cindy D., Terry H., and Patty T. Okay, Marissa, please go ahead. Everybody else, please mute.
Good morning, Gina. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person, right? And I'm coming to OA, working some type of program, and not being entirely abstinent. I think my family, my husband, my coworkers, they did not understand that as a compulsive overeater, I was a very sick woman. And I looked up the definition of sick, right? And it means affected by a physical or mental illness. And I, in my disease, I am affected by a physical and mental illness, right? I am suffering from a serious problem. And right here, right, it continues. And besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. And I remember when I got entirely abstinent, and I started working this program as outlined in this book. I read this with my sponsor, and she taught me how this sentence, it opened the door for our recovery, right? We are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. That means us too, right? It's not just for alcoholics, but it's people who suffer from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I ate like these men drink, right? I had the same character defects. I negatively impacted my family, my colleagues, my friends. I burnt bridges, right? My house of cards, it was falling down. And I'm just so, so grateful, right, for these tiny nuggets that just pull me in, right, and tell me, Marissa, this can work for you too. It's not just for alcohol. It's not just for men. It can work for you too. And then, you know, being recovered, I see myself being a very sick person being recovered, right? On Tuesday, I had to, when I was wrong, I promptly had to admit it 2 times for the same thing. I was like, oh my God. And, you know, I felt myself beating myself up, you know, why aren't you doing better? And at the same time, just having that compassion, right? I'm recovered and I am continuing to grow, you know, from that physical and mental illness. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa E. Okay, Reggie O., we'll hear from you. You'll be followed by Wendy M. Please go ahead, Reggie.
Hi, good morning, Gina. Thanks so much for your service this morning and everyone who's on the line. This is Reggie O. In Southern California, right outside the Los Angeles area. Boy, you know, this is such a power-packed paragraph. I love that we, you know, this 1939, we are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And that, even, you know, that first sentence, a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, which it truly, truly is, you know, except the hope is, as someone just mentioned that word before, the speaker before me, the hope is here there were 100 who have gone before us, you know, and today in 2019, we are looking at, you know, all looking at all the isms, probably tens, hundreds, maybe thousands, maybe even millions. But when we listen here on this line to, you know, the hundreds and over, I don't know, 3,000, close to 4,000 now that are just on our list of people, we hear every morning, you know, we hear the hope because we hear the voices and of the people who have been there, done that, and who have precisely followed the directions in this big book is how it's done. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic or the compulsive overeater is a very sick person. That is so true. And the sickness, a great definition, you know, mental illness, it took me many years in programs. I think it was when I came into Vision, which has been, you know, maybe almost 2.5 years ago, that I thought that I really got that, you know, the mental part of my dis-ease is a mental illness, you know, is insanity. And it was good, you know, it was good to get that humbling. But it's not hopeless. So that's the thing. It's not hopeless if you do the work. There's great hope, you know, and if you follow the instructions, you know, we follow the instructions and continue doing that. You know, we get this, you know, this we get recovered from this hopeless state of mind and body, and we get to live that way as long as we keep living that way. And besides the last sentence, and besides, we're sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. And it reminds me freshly of what we read in A Vision for You, the last chapter not too long ago, where they used to have like lots of get-togethers every night in someone's home. And in addition, it became customary to set apart one night a week for a meeting to be attended by anyone or everyone interested in a spiritual way of life. The prime object was to provide a time and place, you know, where people could bring their problems. And I had a friend who used to go with me to social gatherings of my program back in Boston. And she would just, she didn't have, you know, an ism that I don't think there was a 12-step program for, but she said to me more than once, I wish I did, because I would love to have, you know, this, I would love to have this, what you all have. And it just reminds me to be ever grateful for what I have and what we do have and all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Reggie O. Okay, Wendy M., you're up next, followed by Jackie H. Please go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning, Wendy M., recovered gratefully in Boulder, Colorado. And thank you, Gina R., for your service and everyone on the line. So the first thing it says is we, right, in bold. And I always say to a sponsee, turn that upside down, right, and then we're crazy, right? It's crazy to be in me of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's never going to work. I cannot sponsor myself. My crazy cannot sponsor my crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I need you. I need you, which is God with skin. So I always like to emphasize we. It's always an us. And thank God, right? Finally, I'm out of Wendy, and I'm into you guys. I'm into God. So the other thing it says is recovered, and I heard recovered is I don't think the way I used to think. I don't eat the way I used to eat. I don't behave the way I used to behave. I don't feel the way I used to feel. Well, that's true, and it's sort of not true, right? Because I have to constantly be in fit spiritual condition to get back to that sanity. And so recovered for me is waking up this morning totally feeling scratchy and itchy, absolutely not connected, and feeling really low. Calling, I think I texted like 7 people this morning, right? Because I want this message. And I want to be restored to sanity. And it says here, and so I called someone and talked to somebody, and they absolutely told me that the answer will always be God. Just get connected to God, and all the other stuff in your life will absolutely fall into place. That was the message that I was given this morning. And so I was able to go from insane to sane. I was able to be restored to sanity. And it says here, we're a very sick person. Thank God it says that word. Oh, my God. I have no idea. I'm swimming in it, right? I'm swimming in being sick. Until you tell me, Wendy, you're sick. Your head is nuts right now. You're out of it. You're not connected to God at all. And then I can say, oh, great. There's an answer. There's a solution to my sickness. Thank you, God, there's a solution. And then finally, I just want to say that it says, you know, precisely how we have recovered, right? Follow directions. And for 15 years in OA, I was winging it. I was making up sponsoring as I went, right? And I can tell you right now, I was never going to follow a direction. I was above the law. These directions don't apply to me. They apply to you. And now today, I don't have to wing it. I don't have to make this up. I can just read the book to another, you know, suffering compulsive overeater. That's all I have to do. I don't have to think about anything. I just have to read the book, share my experience, but the directions aren't mine, right? This is the program, not Wendy's program. So what I have to offer today, I don't have to make it up as I go. I just have to follow the directions because they work. And the reason why my sponsor, I always say, you're on the line with me, is because it works. The only reason today I will be reading another chapter of this book with somebody is because it works. That's why they pick up the phone. That's why I pick up the phone and call you guys, because this stuff works. There's a solution. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Jackie H., you are up next. You'll be followed by Cindy D. Please go ahead, Jackie.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Jackie H., recovered in Colorado, and gladly, gladly recovered for today. Like so many people pointed out, the very, very first word is we. I was first introduced to this program when I was just a little girl. My dad was one of the earlier ones here. He recovered in 1949. I was 2 years old. And I remember just such fond memories. His sponsor was a woman, and he would take me to her house, and I remember her. I can't even remember her name, but she was a tall, skinny lady, had her hair all ratted up in this bouffant, and she had this dark red lipstick on that was bigger than her lips. But she was beautiful, this beautiful spirit, and I always felt so at home. And she's the one who took my dad through this book. And so when I needed this book, I remembered, I had a memory of what it was like back there for him. And again, introduced to this book 10 years ago with the other program, AA. And I got away from, I guess I didn't believe the book to be just exactly what it was supposed to be. And I didn't follow directions precisely. I got recovered. I got relief, but I didn't follow through by helping another person. It was not a we program for me. It started to be a me program. And food came in like, it came in like crazy. And so in July, when I picked up this phone and called in, you guys all took my hand, and I learned from you the selflessness and that this was a we program. You held my hand until I could get through this, and now I get to hold other women's hands, other people's hands, and take them through this book that we can be recovered. I love this word, from a seemingly hopeless state of mind. When we're in our disease, we are hopeless, and it seems to be hopeless, but it just seems to be that way. It is not hopeless if we follow the directions precisely how they are laid down in this book. And at the very bottom, we are sure that our way of life has its advantages for all. I think sick, no sick, any kind of ism, if we lived like this book says, it would be a much better world. We would have much more sanity around. I know I have more sanity today than I ever have. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jackie H. Okay, Cindy D., you're up next, followed by Terry H. Please go ahead, Cindy.
Good morning. This is Cindy D., recovered in Texas, and appreciate all the shares this morning. So beautiful. And I remember when I first came back to OA, I came because my husband had gotten into recovery for his disease, and I didn't want to get left behind. And I knew I was sick, just like it says, a very sick person. But I don't think I fully comprehended what that meant, and I didn't understand how the disease really worked. And so, this seemingly became a hope for me and an answer. And the more I listened to this line and to people, I knew that I was in the right place. And it was when I started working with the sponsor and following this, working the steps to the best of my ability, and with, great attention to what the promises were and wanting to get those, that I did experience recovery and experience what it's like to be, recovered, being returned to, somewhat of a normal condition, in terms of normal for me being having a connection with God every day. And I knew it intellectually, but it wasn't until I got through step 9 and really started to experience the principles, and even more so once I started sponsoring and working with others, that I could truly see God is everything and how God can be everything for me. And I'm so grateful. I'm living in gratitude every day, and I look forward to the opportunity to hear other people share and to continue to learn and to grow, and to just experience the true hope of this program, and to be part of the we, and not be me anymore, just part of we, and to be one of this great fellowship. So So with that, I am going to pass and just say I'm grateful for all of you and hope everyone has a blessed day. Thanks, Gina.
Thank you, Cindy D. Okay, Terry H., you are up next, followed by Patty T. Please go ahead, Terry.
Hi, everyone. My name is Terry H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. It's good to be here, and I'm very, very grateful for this day. This is a great paragraph of hope. I remember when my sponsor, you know, I was going through this process with my sponsor reading this, you know, I wrote hope and circled a lot of words. And just, you know, it's just a great paragraph. Over 100 recovered, not cured, recovered, contingent on staying abstinent and following the principles of recovery in the process. You know, when I was able to get abstinent and follow a food plan, my sponsor took me through this book, Working the Steps, sharing her experiences. You know, it says here, you know, we think this account of our experiences will help everyone to better understand. And she was showing me precisely how she recovered. She was taking me through this process, working the steps through this big book, and showing me, not telling me, but she was showing me, she was taking the actions and what it took to be in recovery and work in the program. And I really like what a fellow had to share earlier on the 7 a.m. meeting regarding that word show, because it tells me it's taking actions, precisely have recovered. And, you know, that's what I have today. You know, as a recovered woman coming up almost on 2 years working a recovery program, you know, I have my experiences and I have, you know, this book that I can take other people through precisely. I don't have to, you know, do a whole heck of a lot. But, you know, share my experiences and take them through this book. You know, I can tell you, I like this last part where it says, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. You know, my way of living today is a gazillion times better than when I was, you know, in the food and compulsively eating and binging and purging and restricting. You know, I was dying. Today I'm living. And I'm doing, you know, experiencing life and creating new memories and new experiences. And I'm just so grateful for that and my sponsor taking me through this. So there is hope for you newcomers out there. There are people who are recovered. We are not cured. We have to do the work every day. We wake up, it's a new day, and we do the work. And, you know, I was a very sick person. And today, you know, I'm not so sick. I have my days, but I'm not as sick as I was in my disease. And I'm just very grateful for that. You know, I want to be an authentic person. You know, I want to be true Terry, connected to my higher power who helps me every day get through, you know, and live life.
Right.
And I'm just really grateful for that. And so for the newcomer, hang in there. It's there's a lot of hope, and it's worth it. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you so much, Terry H. Okay, Patty T., you'll be up next. But after Patty, we will take some more names. And let me just remind everybody where we are. We're on page XIII, forward to the first edition, first paragraph, which begins, We of Alcoholics Anonymous, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So get ready to press star one. And remember, no, not necessary to ask if you can be heard. I'll let you know if I can't hear you. Okay, Patty, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, moderator. Hi, everybody. My name is Patty T., and I'm recovered from Southern California. You know, what struck me in this paragraph is this sentence, we hope these pages will prove so convincing that no further authentication will be necessary. So I looked up that word, authentication. And it means an act, process, or method of showing something to be real, true, or genuine. An act, process, or method of showing something to be real, true, or genuine. And that something is the recovery. And the act is working the steps using the directions of this book. And the miracle. miracle is that I found this process in this fellowship on this phone line. I had been in OA for, I don't know, 11 and a half years, and I'd had 5 years of complete abstinence, and then I relapsed and spent the next 6 years in and out of relapse. And it took what it took. You know, I think as this book says, we have to let John Barleycorn do its job. But coming back with an open mind and a willingness to find what's in this book and what this book has to offer, I have found a new life. When I look at myself a year ago under the same stressful conditions I'm living in at work today, it's unbelievable. I'm a different person, and I can't say enough how grateful I am. So newcomers, keep coming back. It works if you work it. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. Okay, who would like to share?
Freya H.
Freya H.
Lisa J.R.
Patty
Lisa
T.
Lisa J.R.
Who?
I heard
Lena.
Patty, John, Lynn,
Jordan,
Anne Marie, and Jordan. Okay, hold on. I'm going to stop
Anne Marie M.
All right, I've got Freya H., Lisa J.R., I think I heard a Patty, and then I heard John K., Lynn S., Jordan L., and Anne-Marie M. Did I miss anybody?
Jackie L.
Okay, Jackie, I'm not sure where you were in the lineup.
I was trying to get... Yeah.
I can tell you we've got more people than we'll be able to get through if everybody takes the full 3 minutes. So be mindful of that, and this will be the lineup. Freya H., Lisa J.R., Patty, not sure of the initial, John K., Lynn S., Jordan L., Anne-Marie M., and Jackie L. Freya, please go ahead.
Thank you, Gina. This is Freya H., compulsive eater and bulimic in Colorado. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share today, and I'm starting a timer. What was pointed out to me reading this forward was just to place it in historical context, and that is so helpful. And what really strikes me when I read not just this section, but really a lot of the all of the forewords and the preface is that this was new. Like this was this brand new idea that recovery is possible, and that, you know, they have, in as Joe and Charlie call it, the squiggly writing, precisely how we have recovered, and that was an absolutely new concept for addicts and alcoholics at that point. So for me, I've always kind of taken the fact that 12-step programs exist for granted. It's just always been part of my awareness. It was part of my awareness from a very young age, you know, with family members and just society. It's like, oh yeah, that's where you go. You know, that's what you do when you have this problem that, you know, that isn't going away on its own. So I had that concept from a really young age, but I mistook it thinking that, okay, so I use this 12-step program and that's going to make me immune to life. So that's actually been one of my biggest stumbling blocks, is the amount of faith that I had in the 12-step program, but misusing the actual purpose or actually how it worked. I didn't have a clear understanding, and it's taken a lot of years to peel back and get step one on a deeper level, that it's not just the food. It's not just, you know, this little problem with food and weight and body obsession and this little problem with bulimia. It's my will and my life. It's my thoughts and my actions. It's everything. And, you know, and that idea that many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person, that took a long time to sink in. I heard it for a long time before I was actually able to apply it to myself. And I love that last line says, we're sure our way of living has its advantages for all. So rather than trying to diagnose myself or pigeonhole myself, just know that this program has its advantages no matter what. And the more that I work it, the more that I am exposed to recovery, the more that's uncovered. And it's the same solution no matter what I'm dealing with. So really grateful to hear the message so clearly in this meeting, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Freya R. Okay, Lisa J.R., you're up next, followed by Patty. Please go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you so much for your service this morning, and thank you, everybody, for being on the line. Lisa J.R. from Baltimore. You know, it's funny that I'm so grateful that we're reading these because when I came into the program, you know, I thought recovery was destination. But really and truly, it's proven to be just a way of life, and more gets revealed every day, especially the part about the sickness, because I realized bottles were just a symbol. Cupcakes were just a symbol. And I came in doing this cafeteria style. Well, you know, that may be for them because they're sick in that way, but I don't really need it, so... I waffled around doing it cafeteria style for a long time, and my half measures gave me nothing. So I go back, and as I read this again, I have the words precisely and convincing circled, because precise means exactly, and it's not in italics for no reason. He wants us, you know, he says these are merely suggestions, and yet there are a lot of musts and a lot of, you know, precise instructions in this book, you know, that they'll be convincing. Well, to convince is to demonstrate or to prove. So coming in here and seeing and listening to the recovery on the lines and studying this big book with you folks has proven over time to be convincing. I don't need any other authentication. I was dead, and I took my bed up and walked because of the instructions in this book, not some of them, all of them. And thank you for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lisa J.R. Okay, Patty, you're up next, followed by John K. Please go ahead, Patty.
Hi, this is Patty D., a recovered compulsive overeater just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Just some wonderful shares this morning. Thank you to everyone. I just love the last line of this paragraph where it says, we believe, you know, this way of life can be helpful to everyone. And that brings back to my mind when I did the fourth step with my sponsor, fourth and fifth step. Because after I finished listing all of my resentments, which I could not believe I had so many, and worked through all those, and they were lifted from me by my higher power, and I just experienced that freedom. I realized, wow, the whole world needs this, because I realized how many behaviors I had that were related to those resentments and fears, and I realized, you know, my whole fellow man can benefit from this, and how blessed we are to have this program and be able to go through this. And that's when I really saw my compulsive overeating as a blessing, because it brought me to this and brought me to the program, which not only helped me, brought me to my higher power to overcome it, but blessed me in so many ways with the steps. So I just wanted to share that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty D. Okay, John K., you are up next, followed by Lynn S. Please go ahead, John.
Thank you. This is John Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. I, too, wanted to sort of highlight that last sentence, because I think, you know, every one of these sentences has got something I could talk about for 10 minutes. But we're sure our way of living has its advantages for all. You know, it doesn't say this is how you'll stop drinking. It talks about a way of living that has its advantages. You know, I've gone back to school to get my drug and alcohol counseling certificate, and we were sitting in class the other day talking about the various ways of getting sober, and talking about this. You know, there's a bunch of different programs out there besides AA, and this one has this percentage rate. This one has this, and I said, you know, I've got to just be an advocate here for about 12 steps for a second, because it is about so much more than just stopping. Stopping is the beginning. It's not the end. And yet sometimes I think, at least in that group, they see it that way. And I just love to tell this story. When I was first trying to get sober, and it really doesn't matter because the steps are the steps are the steps. They have it was in Connecticut, and they have the Connecticut meeting list, and they have these 20 questions, just like all the different 12-step groups. You know, did you You know, did you ever get in trouble from drinking? Did you ever have, you know, anyway, all those. But one of the questions said, do you have trouble completing projects you start, you know? And so I went to my sponsor and I said, look, I understand all the rest of them. That's very logical. But what the heck does starting and stopping projects have to do with it? And he said, well, it has to do with the fact that you know, with our personalities, we can't handle big projects because we want immediate gratification, et cetera, et cetera. But then he said the most important thing. He said, you know, John, you're just thinking about not drinking. If you follow these steps and you do what's here, you're going to just be amazed at how many other things this program's going to do for you. It's going to change your personality. You're not going to become your own worst enemy anymore. And I thought about how even when I wasn't drinking, my ego, my this, my that, and how many things have just changed in my life, not from not eating and drinking, but from working these steps and working on my character defects and at least identifying them and continuing to work. And that's the thing that I think is just the most amazing thing about this program. Yes, it's about the fact that I have, and a lot of the people on this line, have been placed in a position of neutrality, like it says in the 10 Step Promises, and that is just absolutely wonderful beyond belief. But then our lives have changed for the better so much more, not from just not eating, but from continuing to work the steps. And that's the thing I just think is the gift we all have here. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, John K. Okay, Lynn S. is not able to share. So Jordan L., you'll be up next, followed by Anne Marie M. Please go ahead, Jordan L.
Good morning, Gina. Sorry, I was not ready there. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. It's good to be on the line this morning. And I was just thinking about that line, the alcoholic is a very sick person, and not comprehending this sickness. Because when I came in here, I thought this sickness was, I thought it was about the way that I ate and the fact that I continued to gain and lose weight. I thought that was the problem here, right? And the longer that I do this, the more that I participate in this experience, in this program, because that's what I'm doing, I'm participating, right? And I just want to say, like, I'm in it 100%, I'm not going anywhere. I am one of those, like, we of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? And the more that I participate in this program, the more that I understand that food has so little to do with it, you know? Like, it's the food is like the end of the line. There's so much that comes before that, you know? And the other thing that I've wanted to, there's so much sickness that comes before that I didn't comprehend until I got entirely abstinent and was able to start to see it with some unmuddled thinking. And then my unmuddled thinking only brought me to the conclusion that my thinking is my real problem. Like that is the crux of all of it, you know? And then that other line, the one at the end that talks about this way of life that, like I said, we're all participating in, right? We're all practicing on a daily basis. And realize that the solution was never going to be in my thinking, ever. I was never going to think the solution up. And it still isn't to this day. Like, I've been abstinent for over a year now, practicing this program on a daily basis. It's still not, my thinking is still not the solution. I woke up this morning, my first thought is like, gee, my boyfriend's an asshole and I'm going skiing and the resort that I wanted to go skiing at got less snow than the other resort that I don't really want to go skiing at. And God, I have to like figure out a way to control all this and figure it out and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. That's still not the solution today. It's still putting all of that down and just surrendering to the universe and where it's going to take me today. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Hello?
Am I being heard?
We can't hear you.
Tina.
Hi, this is Anne Marie M.
Sorry, the little guy came on and I couldn't get him off. All right, Anne Marie M., you're up next, followed by Jackie L.
Okay. Thank you. This is Anne Marie M., compulsive overeater. And just FYI, when that little guy comes on, I think if you press 8 or star 8, it gets rid of him completely right away. You get immediate gratification by pressing star 8 to get rid of that little guy. But anyway, what jumped out at me this morning was many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. You know, I am looking and hoping to get support from my family. My husband, who's an alcoholic, understands this and is very, very supportive. However, my adult daughter, who is newly sober, not 100% sold on Alcoholics Anonymous or this way of living, probably because she has watched me fall up and down. You can't fall up, but fall down so many times with the program, with my compulsive eating. I am sober many years. However, the compulsive eating has, you know, just consumed my life. She's never seen me drink. However, she has seen me go on one diet after another, one exercise plan after another exercise plan, group therapy. I mean, you name it. She's, you know, 34, and she's been with me on this roller coaster ride for 34 years. And so it's difficult for her to see or understand how much time I put into this program. And, you know, I'm just thinking that, you know, I'm really, really, really wanting some support from her. However, I might just need to accept that I'm not going to get, you know, support from her. And this, you know, the support I get are from other compulsive overeaters and experience, strength, and hope shared from many recovered compulsive overeating. And I think that and looking to God and seeking Him and being in conscious contact with Him will be most helpful for me. I have a physical and mental disorder, physical, that once I put some substances in my body, it creates an allergy, which is a craving beyond my control. I don't get rash or hives. I get a craving beyond my control. And I am spiritually bankrupt. I get the mental disorder and the physical. I can't believe I went 3 minutes. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. And I did try that little solution, star 8, and it works. Thank you so much. Okay, Jackie L., you will be our last share today, and I've got 2 minutes for you. Please go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say thank you so much. I like this part about, you know, it's saying many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person. And, you know, I have to say that I didn't even realize that I was a sick person myself. I didn't realize that I was living in vagueness. I was living in that frothy appeal. And, you know, if I don't think I'm sick, how is other people going to see that I'm sick? But when people did see I was sick, it was more of a thing of shame. And, of course, I didn't realize that, you know, myself, I also was treating myself according to what they were saying about me, that, you know, I was crazy and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But I couldn't see that I had this thing that that I was worshiping this thing called food, which was my God. And then I love the other part about, you know, that we are able to recover from this seemingly hopeless state of mind. And, you know, I think about step two. And now, I'm seeing myself coming to believe, not just with the fact that, you know, I can be restored to sanity from the food, I'm being restored to sanity in worshiping people, places, and things, and in other areas of my life. So I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie L. You will be our last share today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Wendy M. please read A Vision for You?
Yes. Good morning again, Wendy M. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.